If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of John this morning. John chapter number 12, please. John chapter number 12. Thank you all for being here, each one that's visiting with us today. Thank you for being here. I spoke to some folks on the phone this week that I believe will be joining us in the very near future. And we're just trusting God to help us to overcome this mess we've been through for the last couple of years. And praying the Lord will just continue to minister to his people and also to help those that don't yet know him. You know, you think about the clouds opening up and there stands Jesus. Going to be a lot of people left behind. And it ought to be our heart's desire that folk go with us to the city of God. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God. If you found your place, John chapter 12. Now I'm going to start reading in verse 12. Just read a few verses. We'll be looking at some things in this chapter. I do desire your prayers this morning. And I do desire that you pray that this the Holy Spirit of the living God will just have his way in each heart and each life. Next Sunday, we're looking for a good crowd. But more than that, I'm looking for Christ in our midst to work in hearts and lives. I've been in churches before where I guess a pastor or the preacher that's preaching that day would kind of fuss at people that just come once or twice a year. I don't want to do that. I want to try to help them while they're here. I tell you, if they get what they need while they're here, they won't just be once or twice a year anymore, amen? And I'm thankful. I haven't forgotten, Brother Steve, when only 10 of us come in the building. I haven't forgotten what it was like preaching to a camera instead of preaching to a congregation. And I'm grateful this morning from the bottom of my heart for the people that stand before me this morning, knowing that you're praying for me. I've heard this comment the last few weeks over and over. We're watching you online, Brother Vinoy, but it ain't the same. God knew that. I said God knew that. That's why he said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and even so much the more, as you see the day approaching. Today's Palm Sunday. And God began to work in my heart, and I began to look at a text and begin to study, and I think God has something for us today. On the next day, verse 12, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees, and they went forth to meet him, and they cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Brother Steve, you were talking about the different languages. If I understand correctly, hallelujah is the same in every language. Amen. I'll tell you, one day we're going to cry hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Amen. And when Jesus, when he had found a young ass, he sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy King cometh sitting on an ass's colt. That these things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they the things that were written of him, and that had done, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of his grave, and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. And the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. You can be seated. Pray with us, please, and ask the Lord to help us in the service today. I'd like to preach today on this subject, why God's people should live triumphant. Why God's people should live triumphant. We're studying about the triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus into Jerusalem. He's going into Jerusalem knowing that in just a few days he's going to be crucified. But Jesus also knows this. That's not going to be the end of the story. He knows that Easter's coming. Amen. And I tell you, for God's people, listen, this is not the end of the story. That day's coming when Jesus will come and we will meet him. I want to just lay some groundwork thinking about these palm trees for just a moment. The branches of the palm trees, lay a little bit of groundwork, and then give you four or five things this morning as to why God's people should live a triumphant Christian life. The Lord put that thought in my heart. I'll mention this verse again later. But the Apostle Paul said, "Thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph through our Lord Jesus Christ." And I think sometimes when we think about a triumphant Christian life, we think maybe that's a trouble-free life. No, no, no. Paul's life was full of trouble. But he lived in victory. Amen. He knew somebody that was bigger than the trouble. He was able to look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. And he was able to realize the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. The palm branches laid before the Lord. And in Ezekiel chapter 41 and verse number 18, it was made with cherubims and palm trees, so that the palm tree was between a cherub and a cherub, and every cherub had two faces, so that the face of a man was toward the palm tree on the one side, and the face of the young lion toward the palm tree on the other side. It was made through all the house round about, from the ground up above the doors where the cherubims and the palm trees made, and the wall, and on the wall of the temple. Then in verse 25 of Ezekiel 41, "And there were made on them and on the doors of the temple cherubims and palm trees, like as were made upon the walls." It's not just an accident here that palm trees, the branches, are being laid before the Lord. There's a significance to what's going on here. Both the cherub and the palm tree, they picture the righteous man in the sanctuary of his God. Any goodness in man is a result, beloved, of the communion that we have with our Lord. Without him, the Word of God declares, there's none good, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. But boy, when he comes into our life, what a difference, what a wonderful change, the songwriter said, since Jesus came in to my heart. Some characteristics of the palm tree, just introducing the message and getting you to think about these branches that are laid out before the Lord. The tree is noted for its uprightness. The righteous, the Bible said, shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth in old age, forth fruit in old age, and they shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So the palm tree is noted for its uprightness. God wants his children to walk upright in this crooked world that we live in and to live a holy life. It's also noted for its fruitfulness. The palm is a fruit-bearing tree and bearing a fruit that's remarkably nutritious, and the date will sustain life for a long time without any other kind of fruit, within any other kind of food. Jesus mentions in John chapter 15, he wants us to bear fruit. He wants us to bear more fruit, and he wants us to bear much fruit. I'll say this to you, beloved. Listen, I believe the house of God is important in being that upright man, that upright woman that God wants us to be, and bearing fruit for his glory. It's the palm tree's also noted for its beauty. The palm tree lends a great charm to the landscape when seen standing in clusters upon the heights against the background of the sky. Its evergreen foliage makes each particular tree an object of beauty. And the Word of God said we're to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I don't think there's anything more beautiful in the world than somebody that's been pulled out of the muck and out of the mire
and now realizes they're clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and their desire is no longer for the things of this world. Brother Preston, that path you talked about this morning, it's no longer for that old path that leads to destruction, but it's a desire to walk in that new path. A new man walking in a new path, headed for a new destination, headed for the city of God, that new Jerusalem, one day. After a while, it's known for its beauty. And then the palm tree, this is one that really spoke to my heart. They're laying down those branches in front of Jesus as he enters into Jerusalem. And they're crying, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Think about this. The palm tree is noted for its elasticity. Oh, beloved, that thing can bend all the way over just about parallel to the ground and not break. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, beloved, in Christ, the storm's going to come. And sometimes we may be low enough, Brother Steve, we feel like we can kiss the ground, bend over. But thank God there's a Savior living in us. He'll stand us back upright with victory in our heart and victory in our soul. The fiber of the palm tree is so elastic that even when loaded with considerable weights, it still grows with a determination to grow upward. Amen. Hallelujah. God's people are going somewhere. One day, after a while, the trees may bend us over. The tree may bend and the storms may bend us over. But we'll keep on flourishing after the storm for the glory of God. Then the palm tree's ultimate triumph. It does not promise much at the beginning. I want you to think about this. I thought about my life. It's rough to the touch and enveloped in a dry bark, but above it's adorned with fruit. So is life of those that are saved by the grace of God. It's despised below, but it's beautiful above. I tell you, a man said to me one time walking across a church parking lot, he said, you know, brother, you're ugly. I looked at him and I said, I want you to come and see me in my new home. He ain't done with me yet. Amen. I might be ugly, but there's a part of me that's beautiful. And there's going to be a time come when the outside will line up with the inside. And we'll be in the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ and be just like Him. Beloved, think about the palm tree. The Bible said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. The Word of God said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Hebrews 12 and verse 11 said, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Listen, if you know Him this morning and He knows you, beloved, we ought to be living in victory. We ought to be living a triumphant Christian life for the glory of God. The songwriter said, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Listen to a couple of verses and I'll get right into the message. You say, Pastor, what you been doing for 15 minutes? I'm trying to introduce the thought to you. Amen. Remember what Miss Eve said? She said, honey, you never preach a long message, but the introductions and the closings are killing us. Amen. I'm telling you, you stay with me this morning. I'll give you something that'll be a blessing to you. Victory in Jesus. The psalmist in Psalm 25, 2 said, oh my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. I wonder how many times, beloved, the enemy has thought, I've got Brother Vinoy. I've got him right where I want him. But oh, there was one bigger than the enemy. I wonder that day, beloved, when Jesus was put on the cross and put in the grave. I wonder if the enemy didn't think we got him right where we want him. But aren't you glad? Thank God there's somebody bigger than the enemy. The last enemy that'll be destroyed, the Word of God said, is death. And beloved, listen, I thank God the psalmist said, let not mine enemies triumph over me. Psalm 47:1. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. I'm going to tell you, there's some people sitting here this morning. There was a time in your life when you had a shout in your soul, and your shout's gone. I tell you, you're to get your shout back. Amen. There's enough dead religion in the world to choke the world to death. We ought to have some praise and some shout and some glory in our heart and in our life. Somebody said, man, to a preacher one time, said, how you doing? He said, I'm doing pretty good under the circumstances. He said, what are you doing under there? Amen. God don't want us to live under the circumstances. He wants us to live in the Spirit. I tell you, we wouldn't have the book of Titus and Timothy and Thessalonians and Corinthians and Romans if Paul lived under the circumstances. Beloved, listen, he didn't live under the circumstances. He lived above the circumstances. And you and I can do the same thing. We can triumph in the Lord. Psalm 92 and verse number 4. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the work of thy hands. Save us, Psalm 106 verse 47. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise. Now thanks be to God, which always, he said, causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Now get to the message. Amen. Listen, there's a reason they laid them palm branches down there. They represented victory. They represented triumph. In just a few days, it's going to look like Jesus lost the battle. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There'll be some days in your life, old Slewfoot's going to jump up on your shoulder and he's going to say, where's your God now? And I'm going to tell you what, beloved, listen, if we listen to him, we'll get ourselves in a heap of trouble. But we better believe, beloved, listen, that God knows, beloved, there is victory in Jesus. Amen. He didn't say that life would be without troubles. As a matter of fact, Job said just the opposite. He was a man that was perfect, a man that eschewed evil, a man that walked upright. And the Word of God said these three words, yet trouble came. And I'll tell you, beloved, listen, just because a man's in trouble, listen, I like what one preacher said. He said, you'll find yourself in trouble. He said, but dear God, don't let the trouble get in you. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. You say, Pastor, why were they laying down the branches? Because they were looking beyond the cross. Amen. And looking beyond the suffering that our Lord was going to go through. Beloved, you and I can do the same. Victory in Jesus. Why God's people should live triumphant. Number one, are you ready? It won't take long. Number one, because we can be assured that our Lord knows way beforehand what's going to happen, and he has a purpose in it. You ought to remember that the next time trouble comes. You say, Pastor, what are you getting at? Well, in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse number 9, he said, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. You say, Pastor, I don't understand. What are you trying to tell us? Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Before what I read in John chapter number 12, 520 years before that, Zechariah wrote down what was going to happen that day. Oh, glory to God. I want you to know when Zechariah was writing, I want you to know when God formed the earth, he knew the day I'd be saved by the grace of God. He knew the day I'd be birthed into this world. He knew the day I'd be birthed into his family. You say, Pastor, are you preaching predestination? Right now I'm preaching foreknowledge. God, one preacher said, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God? It didn't take God by surprise that Christ was headed to a cross. It took the disciples by surprise, but it never took God by surprise. And before that comes in your life and in my life, we need to realize that God already knew it was coming and that he has a purpose in that that's coming in our life. Listen, secondly, we ought to live a victorious Christian life. Why God's people should live triumphant. Number one, because we can be assured that our Lord knows way beforehand what's going to happen, and He has a purpose in it. Secondly, we ought to live a triumphant life because of past victories. Can anybody say, God's been good to me? Can anybody, beloved, listen, if we get our heart right with God, we could say, I've been saved by the grace of God. God don't owe me anything. If He never does one more thing for me except deliver me from the region of the damned, that ought to be enough to praise Him forever and forever. Yet He's fed us. He's clothed us. He's healed us. He's given us peace in the midst of the storm. I'm telling you, God has blessed us, amen, over and over and over. You say, Pastor, where do you see the past victory in the text? Well, if you begin reading in chapter number 12, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, He came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom He raised, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom He raised from the dead. Oh, we ought to be able to lay the palm branches down just thinking about what He's already done. I'll tell you something tonight, or this morning, beloved, listen to me. I believe God don't owe us anything. Amen. God has been good to us in His grace and in His mercy and in His love. And when I'm talking about past victories, these people are here. They're not only here. You read your Bible to see Jesus. They're here to see Lazarus. They've heard about one that was dead and was risen again. They're dead 4 days. By this time, surely, he stinketh, his sister said. And they've heard about it. And they want to come and see Him. And you and I ought to have some victories in our life that we can look back to that keep us going forward for the glory of God. Amen. Because we can be assured our Lord knows way beforehand what's going to happen. Secondly, because of the past victories. Because, listen, look at verse 3. I'll read verse 2 and 3. There they made Him a supper. Martha served. Martha was good at that. Some criticized Martha. But I'm going to tell you something right now. It takes Martha's and Mary's to make a church go. Say amen. I'm going to tell you what. Everybody ain't on the food committee, but thank God some are. Everybody ain't working with the children, but thank God some are. Everybody's not a deacon, but thank God some are. It takes Martha's and Mary's, amen. And all of us need to have a little bit of that Mary in us. And some of us need to have a little bit more of that Martha in us. Find us a place to serve. Amen. The Word of God said here, they made Him a supper. Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Him. Can you just imagine what an experience that was? Having been dead for 4 days, here he is sitting with his Lord. I'm going to tell you something right now. You and I are going to experience it. We're going to sit at the marriage of the Lamb. What a blessed time that's going to be for the children of God. Watch this, number 3. Look at verse number 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment, a spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. You say, Pastor, I don't know what this has got to do with living a victorious Christian life. Because this is number 3. It is the victorious life that fills the house with the aroma of the grace of God. Oh, listen to me, beloved, listen. It's one thing to shout on the mountain. It's quite another to shout in the valley. I like what Brother Mays brought out in a message one time years ago. I don't know if it was original with him, but he's the one I heard say it. He said he was talking about Joshua. He was talking about Jericho. He said, it's easy to shout after the walls fall down. He said, where are God's children that'll shout before the walls fall down? He said, where is that shout of faith? Where is that rejoicing in faith? Beloved, knowing God is good, even if the circumstances aren't good, laying those palm trees down and just realizing, beloved, it's a victorious life that fills the house with the aroma of His grace. Then number four, think about this. We ought to live a victorious Christian life. Where is Jesus headed in this chapter? Where's He headed? He's headed to Calvary. He come to Jerusalem knowing what they had in their hearts. They couldn't stand Him. His crowd was bigger than their crowd. When He spoke, He didn't speak as the Pharisees. He spoke as one having authority. And they couldn't stand Him. He knew for this cause He came into the world and He was headed to an old rugged cross. You say, Pastor, why should we shout? Why should we live a triumphant life? Number four, because we have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You think about what the Word of God said. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12 just a moment. Hebrews, James, then Peter. Hebrews chapter 12, I want you to think about this for just a moment. The Bible said, wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him which endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. And then the writer said, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. There's not a one of us, beloved, that have been beaten because we carry a Bible. Not a one of us have been boiled in oil because we wouldn't deny His name. Not a one of us have been torn apart, drawn asunder, till the limbs come off of us because we love Jesus. I'm telling you, beloved, we ought to live triumphant because we've not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Then I'll give you this. Look at verse 16. The Word of God said these things understood not His disciples at the first. You say, Pastor, how in the world is that going to help us live a victorious Christian life? How's that going to help us to be triumphant as God's people? Watch what the Bible said. These things understood not the disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of Him, that they have done these things unto Him. This is what I wrote down. Because though now we may not understand, we will farther on. Beloved, I like what a preacher said years ago. I love it. He said, when you can't track Him, in other words, when you don't have any idea what God's doing or why He's doing it, He said, you can always trust Him. When you cannot track the hand of God, you can always trust the heart of God. God has your best interest and my best interest at heart. The Word of God said here, they didn't understand at this time at the first. I don't know something. I want you to know this. Farther on, we'll know all about it. There's a lot of things I don't understand right now. But I'll tell you, that's not going to keep me from serving Him. That's not going to keep me from shouting His praises. That's not going to keep me, beloved, from loving Him till He comes and takes me home. Because I realize farther on, I'll know all about it. Then I don't know what number it is next in line. A couple more things here. Because on the other side of the cross, there is a crown. You see, you listen to a lot of your TV evangelists, and I think they got it wrong. They talk like right here, right now, it's crown wearing time. That's all they talk about. Oh, sow the seed. The seed's always got a dollar bill laying beside of it. You say, Pastor, I wouldn't say that. I done did, and I ain't taking it back. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, it's not crown-wearing time. Brother Larry, it's cross-bearing time. Jesus said, come after me. Take up your cross and follow me. But on the other side of the cross, there's a crown for the children of God, beloved. And that ought to keep us in the fight. That ought to keep us praising Him in these days that we live in. Oh, beloved friend, Jesus said unto His disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What have you denied yourself lately? Anything? Beloved, listen, I'm going to tell you something right now. He's worthy of all that we have, all that we ever will have, all that we are. Our God is worthy. The Apostle Paul said, what is our hope or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ? The last thing I'll give you in the message, why God's people should live triumphant. This is the last thing. Because for some, it may be their only hope of seeing Jesus. Look in the text with me here. The Bible said in verse number 20, and there were certain Greeks among them. Now they would have been Gentiles. You understand that, right? There were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida, of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Let me give you an Easter prayer for next Sunday. I'm not being critical. I'm not. But many people are going to enter quote-unquote churches or houses of worship. And they're going to have a new dress. Or they're going to have a new suit. And they're going to come to see somebody else's new dress or somebody else's new suit. Let me give you an Easter prayer. Let's pray it all week. God help us to see Jesus. God help us to see Jesus. God help that sinner to see Jesus. God help the saints of God to get their eyes off of their self and off of the gloom and off of the doom and see Jesus one more time. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, Philip, they came to Philip and said, sir, we would see Jesus. You can see the pastor and leave the same way you came. You can see your neighbor sitting on the seat and leave the same way you came. But I'll tell you this morning, if you ever get a glimpse of Jesus, you'll never leave the same way you came. Somebody this morning needs to get a glimpse not only of Jesus on the cross, but especially of Jesus on the cross. The crown of thorns, the bruises in His eyes, where He's been blindfolded and He's been smitten. They need to see the lacerations in His back. My dad has had a couple of different accidents before he went home to heaven. Brother John's here this morning. He had one. I don't know, Brother John, when you done yours, if when you cut your finger real bad, but Daddy said, son, you could look down in there and you could see that tendon going back and forth. Daddy actually lost one of his fingers. In other words, you could look on the inside and see stuff. I believe when they lacerated Jesus' back with that whip, I believe you could look on the inside and see stuff moving. The Word of God said not a bone of him was broken, but the Word of God said all of his joints were out of place. I don't know if you've ever seen a football player with his shoulder hanging down here with a dislocated shoulder. It's one of the ugliest things you'll ever see in your life. And yet, many will come and go and never see Jesus. Never see Jesus. They'll see the building. They'll see the carpet. They'll see the choir. They'll see the pastor. They'll see the words on a page. But if ever in our life we've lived in a generation, they'll see the news. Sad men. But they just won't see Jesus. The devil will do everything in his power to keep you from seeing Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you something, beloved, listen. When you see him in his suffering, you know what he's saying to you? You can hear it. Father, forgive him. When you see what he went through with for you and for me, you say, Pastor, you got scripture for that. Right there in the same chapter. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. There's something, Brother James, about seeing Jesus. It just makes you want to go to him. If you ever get a glimpse of him, you just want to go to him. You say, Pastor, he's bleeding, he's beaten, he's broken. His bones are not broken, but listen, his body is broken. That's what we celebrate in communion. You say, Pastor, how could I be drawn to that? He did that for you. It should have been you bleeding. It should have been you beaten. You say, Pastor, don't talk to me that way, okay? It should have been me bleeding. It should have been me beaten. It should have been me hung out naked on a cross for the people to walk by and wag their head and say, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. Should have been us. But he took our place. And I'm glad, thank God, it causes me. I have not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. It causes me to want to go on another mile for my Lord and for my Savior. It doesn't cause me to want to quit when trouble comes. It causes me to want to look beyond the trouble and know there's a land that's fairer than day. And by faith I can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare me a dwelling place there. Beloved, God wants us to look beyond. God wants us to see a resurrection day. Look beyond the cross. There's going to be a crown for everyone that loved him, everyone that served him. One of the things I think we fail in, I believe sometimes in ministry, people are interested in themselves and they want to hear the Lord say, well done. I'm going to tell you, listen to me. A pastor that's worth his salt, he wants every one of them babies to stand before God, Brother Steve, and hear him say, well done. He wants our children's church workers, our deacons, our teachers. He wants everybody that comes through those doors to get to hear Jesus say, Sister Carol, well done. Thou good and faithful servant. All of us' job is not the same, but all of us have a job in the kingdom of our Lord. Why? Why? I hope you'll think about those palm branches. Why should God's people live a triumphant Christian life? I believe the chapter more than answers that question. Amen. Are you glad you come this morning? Are you living under the circumstances? You ain't got no business being under there. God has a higher plane. One of the songs talked about higher ground. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Mother's Day will be my 9th year here at Bible Way. And I hope and pray my feet are on higher ground than when I came 9 years ago. Amen. God wants us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Flourish like a palm tree. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you this morning for your people, for their attention. Thank you, dear God, for the message. Help us, our Lord, not to get so wrapped up in the message that we miss the messenger. The Holy Spirit, of the living God. I pray, dear Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts today. God, I know Easter's coming. And God, many, 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 many people are hurting. And Lord, they're looking forward to that resurrection day. But in the meantime, Lord, we need to be living a victorious, triumphant Christian life. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.